Pacifica Radio presents Red Magic by Michel de Gelderode, in the American translation by Samuel Draper, adapted for radio and directed by Virginia Maynard. The time is the distant past. The place is Flanders, a room in the house of Hieronymus, landowner. Act One. Night is nearing an end as Hieronymus enters with a candle in his hand.
Skies covered with constellations. Who owns all these stars? I swear they're burning in complete waste. Where's the moon? It's been stolen. When it reappears, part of it will be missing. What an enormous night, filled with shadows. The shadows are not worth much. And ghosts, since my house was built on an old cemetery. Cursed land that nobody else wanted. I own this land and everything underneath it. Bones of men who've disappeared. Who owns their souls? God or the devil? Souls aren't worth anything. This ground contains treasures. Copper. Silver, jewels, relics. I would have to dig them up. Not with my hands, with a shovel. Should I buy a shovel? And the owls, who pays for them standing guard? I'll see in the dark. I can't see in the dark. I've got to have a candle, a poor light, it's true, but enough for me to see what I want to. Emptiness. Everywhere. All this emptiness is mine, too. Why can't I grab it and hoard it away? The silence is mine. What can I do with it? All this night is mine. It's only at night that everything takes on its full value. I am twice myself at night. I don't waste my nights on meaningless dreams. I sleep on my feet. I work. I think. I watch. I use the time. I steal time so that I'll have more living hours than men who drown themselves in worthless sleep. I create my dreams. Right now, I'd like some food and wine. I'll take this empty jug and fill the glass. Now drink, Hieronymus. Delicious. And now I'll dream there's food in this dish. Just a bite. This will be enough. Thank you. I'm chewing. I'm swallowing. Oh, very good. Good. Now for another drink. What wine? I really drank quite a bit. Well now, Hieronymus, do you believe there was nothing in your glass, nothing in this dish? Why, you're no longer hungry or thirsty. Shine, shine, little candle. Let me profit by your feeble light. steal into the corners and gild my room so that I'm in the center of a cube of gold. I'll blow you out precisely at cockcrow. Until then, shed your light on this old yellow parchment book while I read through the inventory of my possessions. Master Hieronymus, sound in mind and body, owns by virtue of just laws, huh? One gabled house with garden, well, lawn, trees, birds that live in the trees, and the air and wind which circulates around and within said property. There's also a watchdog, which costs little to keep, since he eats by gnawing his chain, and a cock who doesn't lay eggs, but whose voice acts as my clerk. I own a wife and her clothing, plus cooking utensils and furniture. All of this, counting the wife and the dog, is worth 1,000 royal florins. Oh. I almost forgot. I own one ghost, which came along with the place. Whose residence is this house? But doesn't eat or use anything, but which does make itself useful, since its presence keeps out people with evil intentions. I wonder, what would a ghost be worth? The price of a night watchman. Finally, I possess a bronze chest with cleverly designed locks containing all arranged in battle order. 4 columns of 10 florin pieces bearing the picture of the emperor. 4 columns of the same bearing the picture of the empress. Those columns of gold produce nothing. Nothing. Except the enchantment of my senses, since in fact I like to look at the gold, to touch it, listen to it, smell it, and lick it. But it's not producing any interest. Should I entrust it to a bank or a notary? No, no. Better to throw it at once into a bottomless hole. Still, gold does have magic properties. Listen, Hieronymus. You have male florins bearing the heads of men, and female florins with women's heads on them. There is a sovereign law of the universe which demands that everything male and female attract each other, mate, and reproduce. It's the creator's will. Tonight, I'll put the male and female pieces together. My chest will be a house of love. Later, I'll find the young ones, the newborn golden florins, who grow up just like their parents. I'm going to marry them. Royal coins. Make love. Join together your golden bodies, your golden desires. Unite. Let gold produce gold. Royal profiles. Let your haughty lips touch each other, open and get wet. Tongues of gold cling together. I won't make a hole in the chest to spy on your mysterious work. No, no. Conceive. Female coins swell so big, you burst open. It's blessed and right that your magnificent race should perpetuate itself. The domination of the world is yours. Something. Someone moaned. Could it be the gold already? Because that cry sounded sensual. No. It must be the ghost dreaming in the wall. He's dreaming of the past, when he had flesh and bones. Maybe of an old attack of rheumatism. That's a beautiful piece of work I've done tonight. good Catholic work? Could there be witchcraft behind it? I don't want to lose my salvation. No, no, the devil won't get my soul. I'm the owner. Oh, that's something I forgot in my inventory. Item. One immortal soul, decorated with various virtues. No, I'm not deluding myself. I'm pure, abstemious, diligent, without temper, vanity, or envy. There are 6 deadly sins that I don't commit. The 7th. I'm thrifty. Thrifty! They call me a miser because I'm the opposite of a spendthrift. If I were a miser, would I have such a pleasant disposition? No, most of all, would I be fat? Would I have this fine paunch? Have you ever seen a fat miser? Never! Not in paintings, nor religious books, nor in farces on the stage! Misers are thin! They're haggard, angry, they're unpleasant and happy! So I write with virtues. The devil has never bothered me. He lets good people alone. And God knows the devil is busy in this parish. Last year, they burned 3 witches on the same fire. Oh, the smell. Help! Help! Who put out that light? Who's there? Devil? Is that you? Answer me! It's so dark. They're trying to steal my immortal soul. Stop, thief! Sibylla! Sibylla! Sibylla, wife! Are you sleeping? Where's the candle? Here. Oh, I'm shaking. My hair's wet. What? Nothing missing. It must have been a ghost. Why? It closed the door behind it. It's a well-mannered ghost. It was only the ghost. But he played a dirty trick on me. Where's he going this time of night? It's still dark. Oh, it's dawn. The ghost is punctual. He put out my candle because he knew dawn was about to break. Thank you, ghost. Thank you. I'd better blow it out again and not waste it, huh? Yeah. It's a good ghost. A thrifty ghost. If I paid him wages, I'd give him a raise.
Did you call me, Master?
No, yes. My mouth accidentally called you. It's dawn. Open the shutters so the light can come in. Wife, I've been awake all night. There are some things which can only be done at night, in darkness. Did you sleep well?
Terribly. How can I sleep in a house where no clock ticks? And I've only 1 sheet. I dreamed of the ghost.
Did you groan?
Perhaps I did. I dreamed the ghost was lying on top of me and suffocating me. I could feel his elbows and his knees and his fast breathing. He was heavy and moved around like a living man.
Oh, then the ghost was cold. So that's why he sneaked out of here like a thief. He must have stolen your body heat. I can't keep on the lookout for him or go after him with a gun. I'd only waste my match and powder and make a fool of myself.
He doesn't frighten me. He comes to visit me often. Since I'm alone every night, he's company for me. I'll go light the fire.
No, don't light the fire. Go back to bed till the sun comes up. It's spring.
I'm hungry.
You don't have to eat because you're going back to sleep.
Oh.
Sibylla, look at this picture. It's your imagination that makes you think you're hungry. Now, feed your imagination. That's a fine Dutch painting of fruit, fish, crested flagons. Look at it. Feed your imagination. Eat and drink with your eyes.
Oh, it's beautiful. And I'll be just as thin afterwards.
I don't like fat women. Your slenderness pleases me. Who's there? Get out of sight in those clothes. If somebody saw you in the thin nightgown, he might fall in love with you and carry you off. It's that early morning cloth, the dawn monk. He said mass the pig. He's free of duties for the rest of the day. Yeah. Still, it doesn't cost anything to be agreeable. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, my son. You've grown fatter since yesterday.
I'll have the door made bigger. Enough for me, for you, spherical monk. Why do you make such a pig of yourself anyway?
Why, I observe the fast every day that God gives us. But the less I eat, the fatter I get. It's a mystery. After my death, they'll call it a miracle. Yes, yes, Master Hieronymus. Like you, I pretend that I'm eating and drinking, and Providence keeps my rotten carcass going. Listen to how empty it sounds in my kitchen. But today, I'm giving myself a treat. During the night, I conquered some exhausting temptations, so I decided to reward myself with a little feast. Look at this.
Black pudding! Wine! Oh, Father! I'm hungry and thirsty. Oh, I've got cramps from hunger pains. I'm so shaky, I can hardly stand up.
My son, control yourself. Feast your imagination by watching me. Good. Very good. Dear Hieronymus, think of the thousands of creatures who are hungry and thirsty. Oh, we Christians must help them. Give them alms in the name of Christ. That's why I've come to see you. Let the rich begin.
Gladly. How many times will it be returned to me? 70 times 7. Give me your blessing, Father.
In nomine Patrii.
Here are some imaginary pennies. Yes. Give them to the poor, please. Gesture for a gesture. This charity is costing me as much as the blessing is costing you.
Yes. Well, thank you all the same.
You're laughing at my charity.
Oh, no. I just had a nasty thought because of your pious antics. But it's escaped me.
Oh, you stinking creature! You're polluting the air I'm breathing!
I give you this incense. I give it to you free. Breathe it deeply before it disappears. Goodbye, my son.
I'll talk to you in the same language. No. I'll keep these unhealthy fumes for myself. Tramp! I'll not say that. I'll only think it. You shouldn't annoy monks. They're a rich and powerful caste. Holy man, you'll inherit some gold from me. What's the price of heaven?
Mr. Hieronymus?
Sibylla, aren't you asleep? Where are you going so early?
To mass, my master.
Very good. Since you're fasting, you must take advantage of it by taking communion. It's free. And pray for me so that I can earn more indulgences. And if they distribute bread at the poor people's table, get in line and take some. But don't say a word to anyone. I have a horror of scandal. Let me kiss you goodbye.
Is that all I get? You don't even come near me. Why don't you take me in your arms and really kiss me? Why did I get married anyway? Other women are petted and loved.
Are you blaming me for my purity? You women are always looking for passionate lovemaking. It's not because you need a man's love. No. You pretend to feel desire so you can make us your slaves. You want us to bow to your will. Incontinence has a big price. It ruins everybody. Haven't I given you a child?
Oh, yes. But not of our flesh and blood. A parody of a child. A stuffed child that doesn't grow, or cry, or eat a bite.
That's ideal. Keep busy tending him, milkless mother. I do love you, prudently. I swear it. I detest those erotic fools who waste their nights and their strength on women. You're faithful to me, aren't you? Oh,
what gallant would flirt with me dressed as I am? No color, no jewels, and only the smell of poverty for perfume!
Oh, how can you complain? Oh, when I leave you the greatest of possessions, you still have your... virginity. Oh, that's a treasure you have there.
The spiders stand guard to protect it.
You're rich. Ask the theologians. Rich, rich. No, I'll not rob you of your virginity, my wife.
What a way to be rich. How I envy the whores.
Trollop. Her thin lips have sharp edges. Beware, Hieronymus. No. The son of the ram and the she-goat haven't been born yet. Who can satisfy her? Sweet child. The monk approves of me in behaving in such a pure way with her. It's very difficult to restrain myself. Sometimes lustful thoughts torture my brain. No. Not for anything in the world would I violate this priceless, irreplaceable virginity that so few women can boast of having. I would be lost, body and property. As for going to the whores that she spoke of in that low voice, no. I won't fall into that trap. That would mean trouble. A piece of money drops from your wallet with every orgasm. It gets in your blood. I'll ask the monks how they solve the problem. Why, they're lustful and pure to about the same degree. They must know how to protect their souls and their money and still get what all men want. It would be good to have a little nap. No matter how short, in this... convenient solitude. I own a house with a ghost. A bronze chest in which the gold pieces are breeding their young, a wife and her virginity and the spiders that watch over it, and a stomach and a throat that I must attend to.
Your health.
Dear and noble Hieronymus.
What's this? A dream? Food? Roast pigeon? Bread? Or a flagon of wine? For me? Wonders of sleep. Romulus! It's you! My affectionate rascal! My favorite beggar! Yeah, your graciousness itself! My benefactor! Beggars are the only well-bred people I know. Thank you, Romulus. I was really very hungry. And thirsty. That's really very good. Are you still begging on the cathedral steps?
Working every day tires me. I've come to talk to you.
Oh, is this food left over?
Oh, I accept food, but I keep only money. Then I eat what I want at the inn.
Charity must be profitable these days.
Fair. The people coming out after the sermon have heard so much about the torments of hell that they can't throw me money fast enough. That's how they soothe their consciences. Fear is the lever of all charity. Then, too, I'm skilled in my art. I'm so good at it that if I were to practice it right here before you, you yourself would...
Don't do that. I know you're clever. I have a very high opinion of you. You're a better man since you've become rich.
Not as rich as you today.
Today? What about tomorrow?
Tomorrow? If I wanted to, I could be richer than you. Richer than the guilds. Richer than the whole town.
You need a purging, Romulus. The spring is affecting your mind. The sap is rising. Have you been drinking?
I'm not staggering, am I? I'm standing straight in front of you. And I've come here to talk to you about something I've had on my mind for a long time. But we must stop all the hidden ears from listening within those walls.
Oh, you're frightening me, my friend. Well, what are you saying? Joseph, Mary, Jesus, I'm getting pale. I am fainting.
Drink this brandy.
Warms your heart.
You can be as warm as you are now forever, if you want to.
Yeah, of course I want to.
Do you remember me telling you about a certain amazing individual? Yes, and you never stopped dreaming about him. Answer, where do the powerful people in this world get their wealth? From their labor? No. Have you ever worked, Hieronymus? Wealth may have fabulous or despicable origins, but nobody really knows where it comes from. And no one tries to find out. I tell you, wealth is made by graft, piracy, confiscation, disinheritance, murder, war, speculation in merchandise? Is that everything? No! There's another way!
Diabolical way! The devil!
Don't be afraid! The devil appears only to fools.
Oh.
What do you think of those rare powers in the universe which are captured and used only by certain beings in whom God has put the flame of genius? There are very few of these beings, but they do exist. Anyone who is lucky enough to meet them and gain their friendship is indeed fortunate.
Get to the point!
The person I've talked to you about belongs to this category of sublime outcasts. He's immortal. Unhappily, he's been hunted from one country to another because of his genius. At last he found protection with me. And because I'm protected by the monks, since I'm the parish spy, he is protected by the church itself. He's staying in the loft where I live. But he's wasting away in this seclusion. He wants to go to Muscovy, where he is awaited by the royal family. To do this, he must replenish his fortune as quickly as possible. Let's help him. Quietly, we shall have our share.
Now, what about the risks involved? What is this venture going to cost?
What risks? Give him your cellar to use as his laboratory. He has all his equipment with him. He'll also need a... Oh, tell me, is your wife discreet, obedient?
Oh, take my word for it.
Good. And in 3 days, the sides of this chest will burst open from too much gold.
You're lying! What a wonderful lie!
Don't hide your happiness. I'll go and get this person. You get the cellar ready. Oh, careful. Here's your wife.
Sibylla, look me in the face. I'm afraid. I'm not happy.
There's something resembling a glint of gold in your eyes.
Shut up! Come here. In the future, you'll not say a word. You'll be dumb. Do you understand? Nod your head if you understand. She understands. I'll go down to the cellar, Romulus. Explain to Sibylla what she must and must not know. Then go to work, Romulus. Priceless Romulus!
Oh, is he coming?
You know, because your spine's shuddering.
And Master Hieronymus...
Don't worry about him. You're mute. What difference does that make if you still have your burning lips and mouth? You're beautiful, Sibylla. Ugly and beautiful according to what time of day it is. I think I'll kiss you. Now, don't protest. You're mute. I must go now. Here's a dried fish for you. I'll be right back with your...
I'll let him come. I'll gobble him up like this fish.
Your mouth. It was moving. Were you eating something? No? Well, were you learning to be mute by chewing your words? You must not only be mute, but deaf and blind. You'll be well rewarded for your obedience. You'll have all a woman desires. Velvet, a crystal, a parrot, a lute. Shh. Now, I won't promise you any more now, because you're deaf and dumb and can't hear me. Yes, beloved wife, you'll have love. Shh. Get busy like a good housewife. Well, where's your child? Take good care of him so that he doesn't get sick. Go ahead. Oh, what a happy day. What's happening to me? If it's reality, then I'm going to be generous with myself. I'll live like a gentleman. I'll visit courtesans. The good life will be mine. There'll be no more hardship. No more fasting or trying to make ends meet. And if I should let this new life hurt my chances for salvation, why, the monks will... Oh. The sun. Why are you shining on me so suddenly? Is this a good omen? Where's the ghost? I'll have to speak so no one can hear me. There, I said nothing. I heard myself say nothing. What more could I add? Oh, I hear them coming. They're coming. Welcome! Welcome! Welcome, my dear friends!
Come in and meet Master Hieronymus, Cavalier. He's a man of property, and he'll be generous with his help and hospitality.
My lord. First, let me thank you deeply. Your being here does me great honor. I'm a good man, without many goods. I've only this house, which is yours, which you can use. As long as you don't use it too hard.
I do appreciate your compliment. But we won't get to know each other very well. In 3 days, I'll have to leave. You must never breathe a word about what I did here or how I did it. What has Romulus told you?
The essence of the matter, which is still difficult for me to believe, although I see you before me with my own eyes.
Do you believe me?
No!
Don't you believe me?
Yes.
I can see you don't believe me. I am the Cavalier Amador. Now that I've told you my name, I can tell you no more about who I am, where I come from, or what I do. Look at my profile. Have you never seen a similar one on an old coin? A head surrounded by a flowery inscription. I tell you this. There's a circular inscription around my head in which my destiny is written. But that's not for you to read. Beggar, tell him I accept his help. He'll be paid for it according to the value of what I produce here, according to the value of the contents of this chest.
Can you see through this bronze?
I can see through this bronze as I can see through your forehead bone, you numbskull. Romulus, take my things down to the cellar. And you, Hieronymus. If you betray me, you'll die a horrible death. I don't create good fortune only with these hands. I can work havoc also. It's my tragic privilege to command the two elements which keep the universe going. Good and evil. Ah, I've touched you. You're in my power. One last thing. I've got to have a servant. A pure creature, not a soiled one. Someone's coming in. It's a woman. I'll take her for my servant. You lose all right to her.
But my lord, that's my wife.
Don't question me. You must not leave this room, and you must not try to find out what I am doing. Romulus will stand guard outside. Be satisfied with the gold I'll give you without lowering yourself to count.
How much? More or less.
How do I know? I expect to turn out 1,000 florins.
1,000 florins?
I don't need more than 100 to go abroad. The rest, is this your wife? Yes, I can see she is. Woman, come here. You shall be my servant. You'll live with me in the cellar, and you'll do whatever I desire.
She's nodding her head. That means she's willing. She is mute, my lord.
Very good, very good.
Everything's ready, cavalier.
My lord, all this, is it real?
No, it's a trick, a deception.
I don't believe you! It's true, I swear it!
You reassure me. Servant, put down your dusty child. Light a gentle fire in the cellar. You, Romulus, watch the chimney and see that the birds in the neighborhood don't die. And you, Hieronymus, get me some holy water and 6 measures of the best Burgundy.
At once. Do I have to pay for the wine?
Wait. Viens, Devi Tracy! Here you are.
You can coin money from your sleeve.
I can do many other marvelous things.
His sleeve gave birth to a golden coin. I saw it with my eyes. I'll go now. I'll bring the wine.
Servant, come here. My virgin.
My ghost.
Oh.
That was Act One of Red Magic by Michel de Gelderode.
This is KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley. Red Magic will continue following a 13-minute intermission, during which Ralph Kirkpatrick will be heard in 4 sonatas for the harpsichord by Domenico Scarlatti.